You're listening to Cairo News Radio Middays.
Welcome to Cairo News Radio Middays. Jack Stein, Spike O'Neill, Mr. Hey Hey Ho Ho. Isn't that
Hey Hey Ho Ho. These right. Prime monthly rates have got to go.
I have no sympathy for those Amazon workers. I have none whatsoever. I'll tell you who I do have sympathy for is our good friend Kate Stone, who's in the field currently with surrounded by thousands of people who make more money than the average human being, and they are upset because they got to go back to work. Boo, I don't want to be in the office. Kate Stone, how are you today?
I think we're trying to track her back down.
I am here.
Oh, there you are. She dodged a unicycle. She's safe.
Hi. You know, Spike, Jack, I just like to make you wait for the news, you know?
That's it. Yeah, thank you, Kate. What's it like?
The big news. You're welcome.
Outside of the unicyclists and the clowns and the mimes that they have down there, what are the vibes like?
Yeah,
What's the energy like?
I was actually gathering my bearings because it is really starting to pick up here. About a half hour ago, there was hardly anybody here. Now we've got, I would say, at least 100 people, probably more. And the crowd is growing. They're all holding signs. Some of them say short-term thinking equals lost trust. Amazon, strive harder. There's a large sign that says, Amazon, enough short-term thinking. Listen to your employees. Stop greenwashing. So this is kind of a joint effort between those who believe Amazon is not holding true to its climate initiatives and others who are pushing back against the remote work mandate that started about a month ago. So it's kind of a joint effort between the two of them right now. But there's obviously a lot of passion here. And Jack, Spike, this is the big one. The banana stand is closed,
yeah,
which is very unusual. I mean, that's the headline here, I think.
So
the banana stand is closed.
When I think about the walkout, I do wonder what kind of people are there. Are we seeing people from all walks of life, or are we seeing a very particular? Are we seeing a lot of Patagonia jackets and a lot of people who are taking pictures of themselves admiring their ability to protest? Like, are we seeing true believers, or are we just seeing people who want some Instagram likes?
You know, I am seeing no selfies,
wow,
but I am seeing quite a few checkered shirts, but I feel like that's kind of a Seattle vibe.
Okay.
I could say there is a mix of short sleeve checkered shirts and long sleeve checkered shirts.
This tells us a lot. Yeah, this tells us a lot about the kind of people.
But in terms of this, I'm seeing some people with lanyards, some people without lanyards. I know a couple people I talked to do not want to be identified. They are worried about any potential repercussions from this. But essentially, I asked them what their goals are, and they said, we want to listen to us. Now, exactly what they are looking to do is not clear, but I did find this out, and you guys are the first to find this out, that apparently Amazon, according to one of the organizers of this, removed silently last week their shipment zero commitment off of their website, which essentially was to cut emissions by a certain percentage. So according to organizers, with the climate scout, that was removed its website last week. And that's part of the reason they are here today. Although they did tell me that this has been in the works for months, and that, you can hear it now. It's just at the start.
Did they open the banana stand or something? What happened? That was a big moment.
No. The excitement for the banana stand cannot be quelled, but unfortunately, it is shut down.
Well,
I am sorry,
Kate,
to say, free bananas today.
Kate, we very much so appreciate you being on the ground.
I'm definitely going to keep.
Yeah, we'll touch
absolutely.
Back in with you in a couple of
looking,
few.
And, looking into this.
Okay, thank you so much, Kate.
Yeah,
we will be in touch in a
okay,
couple of few.
Okay, sorry to make you wait.
Oh, no problem whatsoever, Kate. We appreciate it so very much. That's the world-famous Kate Stone, everybody, live on the ground. Apparently, she's also slowly morphing into a robot at the same time. Did you know that?
I think that's a Bezos effort to keep her getting the information out. I'm amazed he allowed her to get so much information out to the public.
I just don't have a lot of sympathy for those people, man. And I'll tell you why, Spike, because one of the things that I've learned in my trials and tribulations in life, in trying to take myself from a state of being homeless and addicted to drugs and feeling very entitled and people have to do things for me. That was my mindset for a long period of time. One of the things I learned is that gratitude gets you a lot further in life than contempt. And when you go around and when you say people aren't listening to me and no one respects me and if only people listen to my ideas, blah, 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 what you don't realize, what you're not taking into context, is that there are people out there that would be grateful for that job. They would love to have that job. You're telling me I get to show up at 9 o'clock in the morning and I get to leave at 5? Wow. I was reading, Spike, about SB 1728. Did you read about this in Florida, the migrant bill?
No.
So, excuse me, it's 1718, and basically what it does is it says that you can't, they got rid of their permitting program for illegal immigrant workers.
Okay.
And what that has done is it has basically removed a huge portion of the workers in Florida who harvest things like watermelons, or they work on tractors, or they, you know, dig irrigation lines, whatever it might be. And I've been watching a lot of footage of these men and women talk about how this has affected them. And these are people that were just grateful to be able to work. They just wanted to work in America, right? Now, we can talk about illegal immigration all day. That's a completely different topic. What I'm talking about now is gratitude. And what these people are saying is that now they're going to go to a different state and they're going to work somewhere else because they just like the job. They just like being able to work and being able to make money. When you juxtapose those people who are in a country where they're trying to get their work permit or they're trying to get their citizenship and they're trying to raise a family, whatever it might be, with people who are making more money than God, walking out into the street and complaining because the wealthiest company on the planet, isn't listening to them, I can only cringe hard, Spike. I mean, just this hot, my body physically begins to fold in on itself like a black hole. And I go, why are you people so ungrateful? You have been blessed to work for a company that has the best benefit package out of any company around. You have been blessed to work for a company where the upward mobility is unlike any other company. You're getting stock options and you're it's just what an amazing place to be in life, and your response to that is, well, I don't really want to come into work, and you guys said that you were going to cut your emissions by 2040, but that's not good enough for me. Boo! This seems like entitled theater kids that don't understand how absolutely wonderful it is to be in the United States and to have literally the best job that a human being can have. Just unbelievable selfishness from those people. I'm sure they have grievances, but I just don't buy it. Don't buy it, Spike.
And I'm sure that there are avenues with which to have those grievances aired, if not addressed, and listened to. I'm sure there's a suggestion box somewhere at Amazon. But I don't know how many people work. And this is down at the Spheres, right? That's who's walking out today? That general? Because I know everything south of Lake Union is pretty much the Amazon. I don't know how many employees are there, but what percentage are walking out today? It's the cubicle crowd, right? That's who's walking out. The check shirts, great description. Check shirts, both long and short sleeve. So quite a diverse walkout population today.
Indeed.
They're probably expecting 15, 20, 25% of the employees to walk out in support of their cause today, which makes them look even worse. These are the ones that don't feel listened to.
Fine. Yeah.
Yeah, fine. Welcome. You know, that's been every day since kindergarten in my life. Nobody's listening to me. You know, welcome to the real world. You said they got one of the best employers on the planet, best insurance coverage, best stock option packages, yada, yada, yada.
Right,
they all
right.
moved tuition here for this job.
You get tuition assistance if you want to continue your education. You get student loan assistance if you took out loans. You get full coverage, full benefits from that company, more vacation time than anybody could ask for, flight vouchers, you name it. I'm on the website right now looking at the benefits package that they give people. It's unreal, Spike. And then you have people who are making unbelievable amounts of money, and they're saying, well, we're worried about our jobs, and you're not communicating to us. It's like, okay, come work a week in radio and then tell me how concerned you are about losing your job. Like, come on, man.
So
like,
you know who's worried about their jobs? Folks who really aren't confident in their abilities. Because when they cut people at companies, because let's face it, all tech overpopulated during the pandemic. They could borrow money for zero interest. They could expand. Plus, Amazon was our lifeblood through the pandemic. And now they don't need those because life is getting back to normal somewhat, if you can call what we do normal. But so they don't need as many people. They're going to cut people loose. They don't cut the best and brightest. They cut people who didn't portray themselves to be essential. And now you're worried about that because you didn't prove yourself to be essential. And now you don't know what your future looks like. How's life back in Indiana or Iowa or Arkansas, wherever you moved here from to take this six-figure job?
Right, yeah.
And it also looks like there's about 55,000 Seattle Amazon employees. That's a figure I keep seeing. Right,
and they're hoping for 1,000 people. If and Kate said there's 100, there's probably going to be more, of course. It's just getting started. It's a lunchtime walkout. It's a brunch out, I guess. I'm not sure what you call this thing. But, you know, lack of security, the fact that the richest man on earth doesn't deem to tell every employee what his thoughts and dreams are.
Right.
I also have a hard time getting behind these folks. And you know me, I'm all for the working man. I love unions.
But we're not talking about your local 503 Teamsters, you know, truckers or whatever.
No.
Or guys, we're not talking about guys who drive forklifts, who or guys on a construction site who are like, "Hey man, you know, we're not sure if this old building still has asbestos in it or not. We really need someone to, you know," we're not talking about men or women who are dealing with a circumstance that necessitates a walkout. We're talking about people who are concerned about their lack of, quote, lack of flexibility when it comes to their schedule, and people who are concerned about their job security because the company overhired.
Kate said it was also an international and remote walkout. If you're working remote and you walk out, do you, like, leave the office and sit in the kitchen for a while? What do you
turn off your monitor.
You put a reloading screen up on your thing.
On the subject of people not listening to you, by the way, the amount of conversations that I have with my boss, Brian Buckaloo, one, about Oakley's, but then two, about my ideas, and Brian is like, "Oh, well, you know, I'll consider that," or, "You know, it's something to think about," or, "Well, you know, we tried that a couple years ago." It's when people feel like they're not, no one's listening to me, what that really tells me is that they're not either A, they're not conveying their ideas in a way that is effective, or B, they are bad ideas. That's what it is, right?
Mm.
It's that when people, there's a difference between someone not listening to you and you feeling like you're not being listened to. And those are two totally separate things. And although that is something that you might work with your spouse or your kids, where you sit down with them and you say, "Hey, you know, I'd like it if you would listen to me more," with your boss, that's not the way that relationship works, right?
Like, it's not. This is the first time some of them have heard that they're not the center of the universe.
That's my read of this, man. That's my read of this 100%, is that you have a bunch of people, and maybe I'm being cruel, and if people want to text in and say, "Oh, Jack, you're wrong about this," or "Maybe you should consider this or that," I'm more than happy to try to incorporate that into my argumentation. I just have a lot more sympathy. You can say this is my bias, being that I used to work with guys. Spike, did I ever tell you that I used to do manual labor as a job? It was my job for many years.
I think everybody should once in their life for a week or two.
The hardest job I've ever had in my life, and most people don't believe me when I say this, but I will say it to my dying day. The hardest job I have ever worked in my life, setting tile, being a tile man. It was objectively, it's backbreaking labor. It is precision labor. It involves math, which we all know is my weak spot. But the level of precision that goes into that craft is astounding.
It's brutal on your body too. Brutal.
And when I did that work, because you're on your knees all day long, when I did that, I grew a new appreciation for what it means to actually do labor and to actually work. And so what I do now, When I hear other people say, "Oh, my job is so hard," or whatever, I go set tile for 6 months and then be the guy on the tile crew who picks up the garbage and puts the equipment in lie at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And then come and tell me that your job is hard and your boss doesn't listen to you. I don't have a lot of sympathy. People need gratitude and they need to take perspective. And when they don't do that, they come across like selfish babies. Not to call people names, but that's what it comes across.
It's just a perception. I mean, let's face it. These are highly skilled workers, highly trained workers. If Amazon overstaffed and has to cut staff, they're going to find jobs somewhere. They may have to relocate. Hell, people in Florida, like you said, they're having to leave the state just for the right to go work 12 hours a day in the hot sun.
Right.
And they're not complaining. They're going to find work.
Right. Nick, am I being too hard on these people, or what do you think?
Well, I mean, for a second there, I thought you were talking directly at me, and I was feeling a little sad there, but you could lighten up a little bit over there.
Well, Nick, you have a hard job. You got to press buttons and you got to make sure things happen. So that's a difficult job. If anybody's got the easiest job in the building, it's Chris Martin. Chris Martin's got the easy. He's got to sit there and laugh at my jokes, which is like I have to say one funny thing every hour. So it's like the easiest job in the world, right, Chris?
Hey, I worked a long time to get to this point.
Right. You put your time in. You believe some of the people he laughed at to get in this chair.
All right. Well, we'll be checking in with the Amazon walkout intermittently. They're going to go back to work in, what, 40 minutes? They're going to go back
in. It's a lunch out? It's really just a one-hour?
It's a lunch out.
Oh,
yeah,
please.
It's a lunch out.
Hey, there's no free food trucks and no banana stand. It's tough, man.
Come on, man. And so, I hate to be dismissive. Anybody wants to text in and give me a perspective that mayhap I had not thought about previously up until this, I'm happy to take in any argumentation that people want to present to me. Happen to consider it. Hey, speaking of an argument, by the way, there was a lawsuit that was dismissed recently that I actually think should have been heard. I think that this guy had a case. Spike O'Neill disagrees. It's about vaccines and the governor and the state and what they can and can't do when they fire people or not fire people. We shall have this discussion when we get back right after this. In November 2021, Coach Nick Rolovich was fired from his job at Washington State University because he refused to get the COVID-19 vaccine on the basis of sincerely held religious belief. He brought a case. Defendants listed in that case were Governor Jay Inslee and WSU Athletic Director Pat Chun. I believe that's the way you say that last name.
Yeah, I think it is.
Federal judge was looking over the case and basically dismissed Inslee and the athletic director as defendants in the lawsuit. Now, Nick Rolovich's lawyers say, we're okay with you removing Inslee from it, but the athletic director is kind of an important part of our case, but what can you do? That's what the judge says. So Rolovich has still got a case, but it's just not the case that was he previously thought that he was going to have. He's suing the university and the state for $25 million. He says he was a devout Catholic. But the judge, this is a crazy thing. The judge says that he first mentioned his religious beliefs to WSU on August 19th, 2021. And because of that, Rolovich cannot claim a violation of the free exercise of his religious beliefs prior to that date. Kind of a weird, arbitrary thing, right?
Yeah, I don't understand that part of it either. Although he did say that the religious, it's not religious discrimination to force someone to take a vaccine. That was the gist of this judge's ruling.
Yeah, which is pretty bizarre.
That's the first time I've heard that from anywhere.
Right. So when I look at this case, though, I spoke to Rolovich. Oh, man, when did I talk to? I think I spoke to him literally right after he had left his position, or he was fired from that position.
From Wazoo.
Yeah. So he was speaking to KTTH. He was talking to Jason Rantz this last year when he said he wasn't sure about his future in coaching because of the way he was fired. Here's what that sounded like from Jason Rantz.
Well, they get me without cause and just we shake hands and disagree and go away. And then we're not having this conversation. And, you know, I'm hopefully I'm coaching somewhere. But now, you know, I'm like a leper.
So he also said that there was confusion at the time about the vaccine itself. Here's what his justification sounded like.
It was an evolution of discussions because the rules kept changing. You know, there's a bunch of kids that got it because they didn't want to wear masks, and then they got to go put masks on again, you know, a couple weeks. And I just, you know, nothing was really straight up.
You know, and he also said that he regretted that he was not more upfront about his religious beliefs. Here's what that sounded like.
Internally, we're talking about, let's just stay on message. You're going to follow the mandate. You're going to follow the mandate. Where, and I look like the jerk, right? I'm just being, you know, I'm just saying I'm going to follow the mandate. But I would have rather just talked about it, talked it out. Mm-hmm. People need to know. I'm a pretty honest guy as far as I'm not trying to trick people or manipulate people.
So we were talking about this before, Spike, and you immediately blew up. You started screaming at me. You started screaming at Chris Martin, and you said, Nick Rolovich is an anti-vax nut. That's what you said. You got very, very upset, and you said some unkind things, and you said you'd clean it up for our on-air segment.
I've been trying for the last 3 hours to find a clean way to say that, and I just can't. There's no real way. I'll tell you what I said off-air, and I will share with the audience, is that if this guy had been 7-0 instead of 4-3 that year, they wouldn't have fired him. There's a double standard when it comes to coaching with what they'll tolerate and not tolerate from a perspective. And there were other instances involving Coach Rolovich outside of the vaccine mandate itself that the university didn't seem very happy with. And it seemed like they were looking for a way to end this contract. You know, they picked up Rolovich after the pirate. I'm blanking on his name. This blows my mind. I'm so sorry.
How dare you? I'll never work with you again. You're fired.
Mike Leach.
I don't care about
The late Mike Leach, God rest his may he rest in peace. Mike Leach bolted for the SEC, and they picked up Rolovich out of Hawaii, and it wasn't what they thought. It really wasn't. He wasn't the guy they thought he would be. And I think, plus other altercations between he and various players, didn't like his coaching style, had a very my way or the highway kind of a coaching style, and they were looking for a way out. And I believe that they used, and a couple of assistant coaches, I think three other assistant coaches, were also shown the door because of the failure to comply with the vaccine mandate.
Well, the thing about, I can see that side of it. I'm sure that there was someone there who was like, man, how do we get rid of this guy? I know he doesn't want to take the vaccine. Hey, it's a great idea. We've got the shield of the state. We've got all the justification that we need. My thought is that these lawsuits from people who were wrongfully terminated, what is it in King County? Isn't it like 1,200 people who lost their jobs as a result of the...
That sounds about right.
As a result of the vaccine mandates. The crazy thing about the mandates, one, is that we're still talking about it. But then two, I don't understand why no thank you wasn't a good enough answer for people. I mean, just in terms of what we understand about COVID as a disease or whatever it is. No thank you is a very nice boundary for someone to have. We're not talking about tuberculosis, right? We're not talking about someone going to a casino with tuberculosis.
Right. That no thank you we won't take, right?
Right. We're just talking about someone who says, you know, I don't take the flu shot. I don't want it. No thanks. I'm not interested in it. And for some reason, everybody lost their minds. You know, Spike, there's an article that came out around that time, and it's right when the vaccines were coming out. I forget who wrote it, but it was a really infamous article, and the headline said something like, mocking anti-vaxxers who die is ghoulish, but also necessary. Do you remember this headline?
No.
Yeah.
How would that be necessary?
I'm not sure, but the general gist of it was that there needed to be a climate of shame around people who didn't get the vaccine and then died as a result of it. And when I think back at how the vaccine became this point of contention between people where there was vitriolic hatred for people who didn't get the vaccine. Have you seen that clip of Howard Stern chastising the one of the people who worked for him because he didn't want to get the vaccine?
No.
Have you seen this?
No.
Howard Stern has basically been the Howard Hughes of radio since COVID-19 was a thing. He works from his home studio now. He doesn't go to the Sirius XM studio. He works from home because he's so paranoid about getting COVID. And one of the guys that works for him, offsite, nowhere near him, said he wasn't going to get the vaccine, and Stern just goes off on the guy. He calls him a jerk. He says he's going to get people killed. Stern, in many ways, is the id of people who are hyper pro-vaccine, where they don't listen to people who are not interested in getting it or have no interest in it, and so they view those people with disdain and hatred, and they still do to this day, which I find to be bizarre. If someone doesn't want to get a medical treatment, they shouldn't have to get it. I thought we were all on the same page when it came to, hey, I don't necessarily want to get that medical treatment. No, thank you very much. Again, we're not talking about someone who has Ebola or tuberculosis or whatever it is. We're basically talking about a flu shot. And I thought that we could all be kind of on the same page with that.
Well,
but there are people who are so emotionally charged up that even the idea of somebody like Nick Rolovich saying, hey, no, thank you, is considered to be an insult to them directly. And that's bizarre.
Well, there's a couple of things. Looking at that in a vacuum, I can see your point, but you also have to take into consideration a couple of things. And I said this numerous times. I know you're getting tired of hearing it, but we have hindsight now as to what we were dealing with. And at the time, we didn't have that hindsight. We had a disease spreading globally that was killing literally millions of people globally.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know what we were dealing with, so they're erring on the side of caution.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, there was a steady stream of, you've got valid sources that you researched painstakingly. But there were people out there with major voices in media and in politics who were spitting misinformation, purposely spitting misinformation. And a lot of people, and I could point to the former president who was told in briefings how deadly this was, confessed that in an interview, with Bob Woodward for the book, confessed he knew how dangerous it was, and the same afternoon goes out and says it's nothing more than the common cold.
I understand, Spike, but COVID... The science is very clear on this.
Now it is.
But it was at the time.
No, Spike. I don't think it was, Jack.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. It has been clear for years, my friend. It has been unbelievably clear. The stratified data has been available to everybody out there. And the problem in talking about this is that people have memory holed that aspect of COVID-19. The stratified data was available within the first 3 months of COVID-19, seeing who it affected the most, for, you know, who, where the hospitalizations were. And it was people over the age of 69. It's been available for years at this point in time. Okay. So when people say, no, it wasn't there, we didn't know. I mean, I for some people, sure. But for me, no, it was available.
Well, again, you're well read. You do your research. I give you that. A lot of people don't. A lot of people are taking the advice of people who really didn't know what they were talking about. And by the way, former AD Chun, that is still part that the Rolovich team still wants to be part of the lawsuit.
Yeah,
he called Rolovich a con man. Didn't buy any way, shape, or form of his religious exemption claims. So that's why they still want him to be a part of this lawsuit.
So, coming up next, Spike O'Neill is deeply upset about the idea that the final coal mine is going to be shutting down. I know nothing about coal, but apparently Spike O'Neill back in 1920 was working in a coal mine.
My family, Eastern Pennsylvania coal miners.
We shall be discussing when we get back right after this. Coal mining in Centralia. Seems as if there is a power plant that will be going out of commission. Steam cloud will permanently fade when the power plant closes in 2005 per a 2011 agreement between the state and power generation company TransAtla, which since 2000 has owned and operated the 11,000-acre property that once housed a coal mine. So, Spike, why is this a big deal? Is coal really – I mean, every time I think about coal, I think about the movie October Sky with Chris Cooper and Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, yeah. That was at the Rocket Builders, right?
Is a rock. Laura Dern is in it.
His teacher.
Right. And so I just think about that scene where Chris Cooper says, this country runs on steel, Homer, or this country runs on coal, Homer, and that coal goes on to make steel, which helps build this country. And then Jake Gyllenhaal, who's like 17 in that movie, is like, I'm not like you, Dad. It's really...
I got a brain!
No, I want to make rockets.
It's a cute movie.
My hero is a Nazi. Remember that? Remember his hero in the movie was... Who was the Nazi rocket maker?
Oh,
Werner von Braun. Remember that?
I don't know. Your knowledge of rocket science is much, much greater than mine.
Andrew, can you find that scene? Can we play that scene with Chris Cooper? Really, it's one where Chris Cooper is yelling at Jake Gyllenhaal, where he's like, this country runs on coal, and that coal goes on to make steel.
Are we talking about October Sky?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that film. Yeah, I'll see if I can find it.
I love you, too. Andrew, you two are the greatest pair ever.
Okay, so Spike, why is this a big deal? It's like, come on, let's move on. What we should be doing, Spike, is nuclear, but all the leftists out there don't want to talk about nuclear because they don't realize that we're not dealing with Chernobyl or Three Mile Island anymore.
No, we're dealing with Hanford. Come on. We're dealing with the largest nuclear waste site in the world.
A lot of people don't realize is that a lot of the block for any nuclear in the United States, it doesn't come from Republicans. It comes from Democrats who are not a fan of nuclear power in the United States. But in reality, this would solve a lot of the problems that we have when it comes to electricity in the United States. Hydroelectric power is great and all, but we could be living in the future with nuclear power, and we could have superpower, Spike, but the Democrats don't want me to be able to fly around and turn into a crystal because they don't like nuclear power.
Well, let's go get some three-eyed fish at the sushi store, and we'll talk it over.
Because
when nuclear goes wrong, it goes real wrong for a lot of people. That's my only knock on nuclear.
But that was the case 30, 40 years ago, and now we have new amazing technologies in order to... Did you know, Spike, by the way, the amount of nuclear waste that we have, there is now a system by which we can re-refine that nuclear waste.
I didn't know
reuse
that.
Reuse it, right? Do you know who blocks the technology on that?
Probably the petroleum industry.
It'd be the Democrats, my friend.
Come on.
They don't want to go and dig it up and then try to refine it again because it would be too expensive.
We can't even afford to clean up Hanford. There's a big issue right now about how they're going to get rid of all the waste from our atomic bomb production down in Hanford, which is leaching its way into the Columbia River, a water source for agriculture and living in two different states. That's a whole different issue. I'm talking about the coal plant in Centralia. It's the last coal power plant in the state of Washington. It's the state's largest emitter of greenhouse gases. And, yeah. and they're making the move to get rid of it. They're going to move to like a green fusion or green hydrogen plant. They're going to try to put in there by 2025. Well, these are renewable, cleaner energy power systems, power plants. And that's the thing about, you know, growth is hard, man. It's tough to make the transition away from an antiquated system like coal, fossil fuels in general. You got to make these painful steps, and some generation has to be the generation that sucks it up and makes the move toward the future. And that's what they're doing down in Centralia.
The future is nuclear, where I get to use my telepathy and my magnet powers to change the world. Andrew, do we have that October sky clip?
Maybe. I have one of them here.
Yeah, can you...
Let's give it a listen.
Let's get some cribbing on that roof!
Fuck out of home. You're a Coalwood boy. When you get down in the mine, get that coal shovel in your hand, it'll just as natural to you to take on a dog.
That's not quite the one we're looking for. That's good.
but that's still good because everybody in that movie has those West Virginia accents.
Sure.
They're so thick. And
that
so
West
heavy.
Virginia lung.
Got that. We actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
My daddy got a spot on his lung the size of a quarter from being down. That movie is filled with such great lines about working in the mines. And it's just so. I love that movie. That movie is so good. All right, we shall take a very quick break. When we get back, Mr. O'Neill, we shall be talking about the debt crisis. Student loans will now need to be repaid. A woman who yelled, "Hang Pelosi," gets 2 years in prison. And how does that relate to a recent crime in which everybody is saying, well, if you threaten somebody, you deserve to go to jail? We shall discuss when we get back right after this.